God bless you.
Bless you, Gary.
Thank you. Everybody have a handout? Okay, if you've got a handout, we're going to go all the way to the end of this handout, and we're going to start where Frank left off at, and that's Ephesians 6. So if you'll take a look at the final inside page. But again, before I get started, I want to thank you guys for coming and thank Taylor and Ula for inviting us. And I don't know about you, but the Chicago gang is having a great time, or we are anyhow. But thank you. Oh, that lamb looks good. Oh, starting to look brown and nice and neat. Okay. I happen to like brown, in case you hadn't. But anyway. Oh, speaking of brown, this microphone, when it originally came, was in a pink. It was supposed to be flesh-colored. So anyhow, we won't go there. But anyhow, so the modifications you see to it are me trying to get it my flesh color. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? Right. The Lord. And the power of Gary's might, right? Fred's might? Frank's might? Alan's might? Laura's might. The power of his might. We must remember that our power source has to be God. Because if we rely upon anything else than the true God, we're going to find ourselves in the same place Satan found himself one day. Fallen. And the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. What if I'm having a tough day and I only want to put on the greaves or take my shield with me? What are you supposed to take with you every day? The whole armor of God. Every single last piece. That is so, so, so important. Anytime you find yourself getting hit by the adversary or just getting hooked by a left hook and things just aren't going right, stop and make sure you've got on the whole armor of God. We're going to find out a little bit more about what the whole armor of God is here in a moment. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wish CJ was here. She's a wrestling nut. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's so important to remember, because it's not the person you're having a disagreement with. You know, it's not your boss. It's not anybody who's flesh and blood. But the bottom line is, we have to look deeper than that. Our fight is with who? Satan, with the adversary. But what does the Word say? We are more than conquerors in every situation. We have to go into that with the power of God and the power of His might. As we do, there's nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing that can take advantage of us. There's nothing that can be more than a conqueror to us and in our lives unless we allow it. We've got to remember that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of which world? This world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Turn all the way over on the back for the rest of this. Wherefore, take unto you partial armor. Just the greaves? Just the sword? Okay. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. Guess what, gang? What day is this? You hit it. Exactly. This is the evil day in which we are to stand, in which we are to go forth with the whole armor of God. Having done all, stand. And the reason that's important is because there are times when you come to your wits' end. You know, gee whiz, I've done everything I know how to do. What are you supposed to do then? Stand. Stand. Stand on the Word. Stand in Christ and in the power of His might. Stand. 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 Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I kind of like that. You know, your feet are basically your foundation. You know, that's what you stand on. What's that supposed to be on? the preparation of the gospel, the good news, God's word. That's where we stand. When we start your race and you get out on your blocks, what are you starting from? The word. That's what's pushing you. That's what you're pushing against. That's what we're standing upon. Okay. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith of believing, wherewith ye shall be able to do what? You know, my mind picture on this is I see myself out on a really nice, beautiful evening, and the sun is setting, and you get a mosquito, and you slap it here, and you slap it there. But you don't stop and think about it. You don't go, ah, there's a mosquito coming in at 5 o'clock high, and then you... You don't do that. Instead, you deal with it as it comes. Mosquito lands on your arm, you don't even look. You know your arm well enough to know where the pain is, that's where something's at. And so you swat. That's the way we need to be with the wiles of the adversary. That when he attacks us, we take care of it spiritually by not even taking the time to look. Just swat. Just get the heck out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how simple taking care of the adversary needs to become if we're truly to stand in the power of God. Okay. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Here is your sword of the Spirit. That is your offensive weapon. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, in every temptation that the devil threw, what did he come back with? It is written. It is written. It is written. This is to be our offensive tool in fighting the adversary. Anybody here play ping pong? Oh, we've got two ping pong players. How good are you at it? Do you have your own special racket? Okay. Yvonne, do you have your own racket? Okay. You guys used to? How about you? Yeah, racket. Okay, 100 years ago, when I used to play ping pong, I used to handmade my own rackets. I mean, just the right amount of foam on this side and the right, you know. And so if you were doing a foreswing, you use this side. And if you're using a backswing, you use the leather side so you could get the backspin and all that kind of stuff. Your Bible should be just that personalized. One thing, this one I'm breaking in, but I love it when I have an old Bible. It may look raggedy, but I know where everything's at in that. You give me a new Bible and I go through it and I'm lost. Like, where's Ephesians 6:10? But anyhow, get a Bible. Let that be your true sword. Take it with you everywhere. Underline. Keep your notes in it. Let that, really, really make it your own. All right, let's go to James chapter 1. The title of this teaching, Don't Take Your Eyes Off the Goal, Stay Focused. Now, how do you do that? James chapter 1, give me just a moment to get there. Now, it's not in your outlines. Hebrews, James. In James chapter 1, basically, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. I read that the first time and I went, right. Every time that you're challenged by the adversary, you're supposed to be blessed. Right? Wrong. No, but there's more to it than that. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Bottom line is, when the adversary comes like a mosquito and lands on your arm, take care of it. With the word, take care of it. Knock it out. And, one thing about Alaska, there are a few people here from Alaska that have been to Alaska anyhow. We were in Fairbanks, Alaska. Well, we were in North Pole, Alaska, and I was up there visiting some of the believers. And I'm sitting there in the car with the windows rolled up. Now, this was probably May, the end of May. I won't tell you what year, but that's not important. But in May, the mosquitoes come out in droves. These guys, and these guys were Alaskan by this time. They'd been there 100 years. But they're out there, just swarms of mosquitoes around their face and head. And every once in a while, you'd see them swat when one got on their nose. The other thousands of mosquitoes, they were just kind of oblivious to them. And I thought, gee whiz, you know, that'd be kind of nice to be at that point. I didn't care to roll the window down to try it, but... But the point is, the adversary is going to continually attack, and he's going to be like a mosquito. But the thing is, we just need to get like those Alaskans, to where the fiery darts of the adversary don't affect us. If something lands on your nose, swat it off. But just don't even be bothered by it. Don't be distracted by it. James chapter 1, that's basically what this is talking about. Let patience work or perfect work. But what I wanted to get to is more important than that is verse 6. Verse 5. But if any of you lack wisdom, it should be every time you lack wisdom. And if you're applying to me, every other minute. But when we lack wisdom, and that's simply where you want to know how to do something. You want to know how to accomplish something. You want to know what you should do. What should I do next? What steps should I take? Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, or believing, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And then verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you go to God and you want to see the power of God work within your life, don't go with indecision. If, for example, and I use this example before, we'll say that you need $10 for whatever, and you go to God and you say, God, I really need $10. You know, can you give it to me? Or can you see to it that I get $10? And then while the words are coming out of your mouth, you go, you know, I could really make it with $8, you know. And so, well, God, let me change that. Let me make it $8 instead. And then while you're saying that, it goes, well, you know, I could really, really do with just $2. That's all I need, just a gallon of gas or whatever, $2, three. Okay. But in other words, don't change your mind. When you go to God and you ask God for help, you ask for his wisdom, or you want him to be involved, know exactly what it is you're looking for. Be clear and concise in what it is you want to see him bring to pass. It says, not wavering, because let that man think that he shall not receive anything of the Lord. So make a decision. And now, to the handout. On the front of this handout, there's a picture of Peter walking on water. Now, I could spend an hour talking about Peter because I really identify with this man. This is a guy who was always blowing it, always falling short of the mark, but he never quit trying. He never quit trying. Okay, open up your handout. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, if you would. Now, this is where Jesus Christ had been out, and he was dealing with a multitude of people. It had been a multitude, taking care of the whole situation. And then Jesus Christ went off into a mountain place to pray, apart to pray. He sent the apostles on ahead in a boat, the only boat they had. So, after Jesus Christ finished taking care of business, getting in fellowship, making sure he was fed spiritually, taken care of. His needs were met with God. then he thought, well, you know, gee whiz, I've got to catch up with the apostles because we've got an engagement tomorrow morning at such and such a place, Temple of Jerusalem. So he decides, well, you know, it's simple. You've got two choices, either walk around the Sea of Galilee, which would not have made sense at all, or you can walk across the water. Well, for him, there was nothing, you know, he realized that with God, nothing is impossible. So God said, what do you want me to do? Sure. So he walked across the water. And as he approaches the boat, he looks out, he sees the apostles, and he knows them for one thing. They're out there going, they're probably about where Cal is back there in the back. And he says, gee, Mani, what is that coming across the water? Nobody had ever walked on water. They didn't know if it was a spirit. They didn't know what it was. And so what are the first words out of his mouth? Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Where were their heads at? Fear. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, does it say that Peter and the other 11 apostles said, if it be thou, bid me come unto you on the water? No. Nobody else dared to do that. Nobody else dared to give it a try, to do something that nobody had ever done. It was uncomfortable to them, but Peter did. In verse 29, and he said one word. I love this. Simple. Come. No. Now listen, Peter. Step out of the boat. Put your left foot down first. He didn't give him a dissertation. Didn't give him instructions. He just said, come. Come. Very, very simple. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he did what? He walked on the water. Now, I've had people tell me, oh, gee, he didn't really walk on water. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. May not have been for long, more than a couple seconds, but he did walk on water to come to Jesus. And then here's where we blow it with anything we want to accomplish or we want to bring to pass in our lives. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And what did he say, crying to the Lord? Lord, save me! Lord, save me. Everything was great as long as he kept his eyes on the goal. The goal was Jesus Christ. And that's why I really enjoy this picture. Peter is standing there on the water, and he's got his hand outreached to Jesus Christ. And then all you see of Jesus Christ is the open hand. Well, God is the same with us. Whenever there's something that we want in life, that is in alignment and harmony with God's Word, God is always there to give us a hand with what it is that we want to bring to pass. Just like he was with Peter. Okay. I'm going to stop there and we're going to go on to the next verse. But the point is, Peter walked on water. Go down to the heading. It says, stay focused. Don't be afraid to speak with authority and to command the things that you want to see come to pass. Jesus Christ commanded or spoke with authority. He just simply said, come. Come. Did he go, well, it could be that you can kind of come if you want to, Peter? No, he didn't do that. It wouldn't be, but watch that first step. He just said, come, come, come. Speak with authority those things that you want to see come to pass. And believe that God is going to back your words. Do a checkup from the neck up. I love that phrase because I'm always doing it myself. But do a checkup from the neck up and make sure that what you want is in alignment and harmony with what?
Scripture.
The Scriptures. You sure it doesn't say with what you feel or what you want? It doesn't say that? Maybe it's my Bible. Anyhow, make sure that it's in alignment and harmony with God's written Word. Because I can tell you something. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, And you ask God for help, is he going to be there to help you? No. But you ask for anything in accordance with God's word, 1 John 5:14. Beloved, that's raw scripture. 5:14, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word, he heareth us. Anything according to his word, he heareth us. And that's hearing to the point of bringing it to pass. And then speak with the God-given authority that you have been given. I'll give them Matthew 7:28. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished. Now, Jesus Christ is teaching the Word. And as he's teaching the Word, the people were astonished. They were astonished at his teachings. Well, what was it that astonished them? It wasn't that he spoke the Word. They'd heard enough people speak the Scriptures. What astonishes them, for he taught them as one having authority. As one having authority. When you speak, particularly when you speak God's word, speak it with authority. You have the right and the God-given privilege to hold forth God's word with all of the authority backed by God. That's the authority with which we speak when it comes to the Word. Used to be a minister in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, 100 years ago, long time ago. That man would get on the pulpit, and he was dynamic, just a dynamic speaker. The reason I got to know him so well is because he proposed to my wife first. But anyhow, but get him off the pulpit, and it's like, yeah, would you do this for me, or would you mind doing that? Mealy mouth. But when he was speaking God's word, he spoke dynamically. I just wish he had it in other areas of his life, but that's fine. If he had, I might not have married Teresa. The side story. Okay, Matthew 26:51. Chapter 26, verse 51. Verses 51 through 56. And behold, one of them, talking about Peter. This is when the temple guards came to take Jesus Christ. This was before the crucifixion, the beginning of the crucifixion and the beatings and all of that. And Jesus Christ had gone up to the Mount of Olives, and he'd taken his apostles up there. And that's where he said, you know, pray with me. And every time he'd turn around, he'd gone to sleep. You know. And so he'd go back and wake him up and say, pray with me. Because this was a very difficult time in his life. He was facing what no man had ever faced before. And so then in verse 51, and behold, one of them, and this was Peter, and if you doubt this, you can take a look at your convenience at John 18:10. You'll find out who this person is. But one of them, which was with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Peter was always trying. These guys came to take Jesus Christ, and Peter went, oh, no, you aren't. So he pulls out his toad stabber and takes this guy's ear off, probably missed what he was aiming at, which I would think I wouldn't go after an ear if I were going after somebody with a knife. But he missed what he was aiming at and took his ear off instead. Jesus Christ goes, wait a minute, Peter. Takes the ear and puts it back on. This is the Anderson interpretation. Okay. Puts the ear back on and says, look, gang, don't you know that this is what I came to do? Don't you know that this is my whole purpose for coming? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son, that whoso believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 6:17, for God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. There was a purpose to why Jesus Christ came. And in that purpose was the fulfillment of the payment in full for our sins. He had to go through what he had to go through for our sins. That meant going through the beatings. That meant going through the crucifixion. He had to pay the price in full. And Jesus Christ had been telling the apostles that for the entire year or so that he had been with them, and they just didn't get it. Welcome to the club. I don't get it sometimes either. But anyhow, that's what was... Where would I leave off at? Verse 51? Okay, 26, 50. Okay, 52. And I love this. Verse 53. So this is in light of... This is what Jesus Christ says. Thinketh thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. Don't you realize that if I didn't intend for this to be, it would not be? Right now, I have 72,000 angels, that's 12 legions, of angels at my disposal. Well, now, stop and think about that. If that's what Jesus Christ had available to him, and we stand in Christ's stead, then wouldn't it logically be that we also have 72,000 angels available to us? In other words, Jesus Christ could have said, you know what, gang? Party's over. Cindy, you're a toad. You know, for all of the harassment you've given me, you will now be, and all of your offspring will be toads. Whoops, okay, I've turned toward the mic, toward the speaker. Okay. But the point is, if he had wanted to, if he had been less than our Savior, or if he had given in to the temptation of not standing and not going through what he went through, he could have said, party's over, gang. And he could have danced on all their graves because he had 72,000 angels at his disposal. But for him, it was just enough to know that. It was enough to know that. And, you know, we have to reach points in our lives where we know what we have available. We know who we are. Okay, there's the goal. Now, you're going to get tempted as you're going toward that goal, whatever it happens to be. But know who you are. And know what God has given you and the authority with which you speak. All right, I'm going to finish up that set of scriptures. Verse 54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? There's a purpose to the things that are going on right now. There's a purpose for what I'm going through. Yes, I have the power and authority to end all of this right now. But I'm not going to, because the goal is greater than my personal desires or my personal needs or my personal comfort. Stay focused on the goal. Do not let anything distract you from that. In light of that, read the next bullet or whatever you want to call it. Number three, stay focused. Don't allow the adversary to trick you out of the overall goal. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on concerning deliverance and healing and all of that. If you have a goal of being delivered from any particular situation, whatever that happens to be, an infirmity, affliction, or whatever you want to call it, do not allow the adversary to trick you out of the overall goal. My leg hurts. And we'll say it does. It doesn't. But my leg hurts. And I've been limping on this thing and in great pain for days. And, you know, I say, well, gosh, gee whiz, it's better now. No, the goal is to get it delivered, get healed from that. And better is good, but it's not best. If your goal is to be completely delivered from it, don't fall short of that goal. Don't quit halfway to the goal. Go for the gusto. God is there with you, and he's certainly able to bring it to pass in your lives. Go for the gusto. Don't allow yourself to get stopped halfway to the goal. It's kind of like I decide I want to go to Minneapolis, and I say, well, you know, St. Louis is close enough. No, it's not. Not if you want to go to Minneapolis. All right. The best victory would be total and complete. An instant healing. If my leg were hurting, then the best thing would be just boom, that pain's gone. Complete deliverance, instantaneously. That's the best way to go. okay, maybe my believing isn't there. Maybe the circumstances, for whatever reason, aren't quite there. So I take it in phases. All right, well, today my leg feels better. Am I at my goal yet? No. But am I working toward it? Yes, I am. Now my leg is better. Now it's better. And then a week from now, everything is taken care of, and you're at your goal. If you don't lose sight of the goal. If you don't lose sight of the goal. Say, okay, I'm at this point now, but in such and such a point, this is what I want. Total and complete deliverance. And so that's another type of healing. There's instant healing. The second is long-term healing. Long-term can be hours, it can be days, it can be months. That's the second. What's the third? Hey, Mike? Anyhow, the third is doctor-assisted healing. What do I want to share? Okay, about a week and a half ago, I had a kidney removed. And, you know, the doctors were amazed at my immediate recovery and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, I had to go to a doctor to get that thing taken out. You know, it was just that simple. But you know what? Now I'm taken care of. I don't have to be concerned about that kidney anymore. Got another one that works fine, just fine. But you know what? And that's okay. That's okay. Because in that area, I am completely delivered. And the goal is deliverance, complete deliverance. And we have to stay our minds on the goal. What is the goal? What is it you want to see accomplished? What the heck was that walking up my neck? Deliver me from it. Anyhow, if the goal is complete deliverance, then that's where we have to stay our focus, regardless of how it comes to pass. Whether it be the instantaneous healing, the long-term healing, or doctor-assisted healing. Now, why do you call all those things healing? Because if you go to a doctor, there's no healing involved in that, is there? Yes, there is. The doctor took out the kidney. It's somewhere on his table or in biopsy or whatever. But the point is, all of the attachments, the bloodlines, all that stuff, they have to heal. And only God can heal them. Only God can bring that healing to pass. If you had to go into a situation, a doctor-assisted healing, and God wasn't there, you know what would happen? You would die. Because if the blood didn't coagulate, you'd bleed to death. The doctor could remove whatever the item was. He could even he could stop the blood temporarily, but without that healing, you would die. God is involved in all three aspects. And the reason that's so important is because I had to do a lot of soul searching in going in to get this kidney taken care of, because I'd been ministered to and prayed for and this and that and the other. It just didn't happen. For whatever reason, I could spend a lifetime thinking about that. But the point is, I am totally delivered now. Yes, it took doctor-assisted, but I am totally delivered. What was the goal? Deliverance. Am I there? You darn well bottom better bit, whatever. Yes, I am. The one trick of the adversary is, well, you need to condemn yourself because God didn't come through for you. Yes, He did. He guided that surgeon's hands. You know, he got me to where I needed to be. But that's okay. Because what's the goal? Deliverance. Thank you. Okay. Peter walked on water. As long as he kept his focus on what Jesus Christ had given him permission and the authority to do. Jesus Christ said, come. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What have we been given the permission to do? Prosper. What else have we been given permission to do? Be in health. Okay, there's another thing. Take a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love this scripture. You find there are a lot of scriptures I love, but anyhow. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come. Has the Holy Spirit come? Last week, wasn't it? No, 2,000 years ago, the day of Pentecost, it came. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Yvonne, where is the uttermost parts of the earth? Yeah, the last time I asked her that, she missed the question. We are in the uttermost parts of the earth. We have been given power. Once we're born again, we have the God-given power to do whatever it is that God sets before us to do. And we've got to know that, and we need to set our goals high, and we need to not stop before we achieve those goals. Mark 8:23, it's in your outline. You know, I was reading the Word the other day, and I was working the three types of healing, and I was thinking it'd be nice if I had an example of where things didn't go exactly the way they could have gone. And then I ran across this scripture, Mark 8:23. And when he, Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Now, Jesus Christ had been in town teaching the word. And a blind man came to him. And so he first separated the blind man out of the crowd, took him out of the city, and put his hands upon him and asked him what he... Okay, wait, no, I left out some things. Okay, he took the blind man and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes. Can you imagine somebody spitting on your eyes? Boy, where I grew up, that would have been fighting. Would have been. But no, it was a little different. He spit on some dirt, some clay, rubbed it around his hands, and then put that clay on his eyes. But when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him, he asked him if he saw aught. So what do you see now? And the guy's eyes, he's wiped all the clay off his eyes, and he looks out and says, I see men walking as trees. I think I said that right. Verse 24, and he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. Well, what that meant, and in the East, in the evening, they would gather wood for their fires. And so they would have these huge bundles of twigs and limbs, and they would carry them on their back or on their shoulders or on their head. And so they would be walked over hunched like this, and all of these limbs would be sticking out above their head, and they'd be coming out below their bottom. And so it looked like men walking, or trees walking. I see men walking as trees walking. And that's what it was. You know, all he could see was the outline of what looked like a tree walking. You know, not that it was a tree walking, but that's what, you know, when you're looking at things and kind of... Anyhow, all he could make out was what looked like trees walking. And it was just these men going in with their bundles of wood to set their evening fires and their morning fires for dinner and for breakfast. And you know what? Jesus Christ said, okay, your believing isn't there, that's it, you're through. No. But you know what? He went back and tried it again. And I think I don't know if it was Taylor or Ula that was talking this morning, Ula, was saying that if you don't get it right the first time, that's okay. Go back and do it again. And that's so, you know, I go, you're healed. And the guy's still limping. I go, okay, I blew it. You know, and don't walk away and condemn yourself. If it's not right the first time, give it another try. You're in good company. Jesus Christ took a couple of tries on this to get it right. Okay. Verse 25. After he had put his hands upon his eyes, he made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. But the thing is, it took two tries. But you know what? Jesus Christ did not give up with the first partial success. You know, the guy would have been fine if before he couldn't see anything at all. If all he saw was a dim outline of people, at least he could see what looked like men, like trees walking. That's better than nothing. But he didn't stop. The goal was complete healing, complete deliverance. And if that's the goal, do not allow yourself to be stopped or talked out of the completing of that goal. Do not, under any circumstances, allow yourself to be tricked out of it. And so, okay, fine, let's do this again. Now what do you see? Complete success. He saw men clearly. He saw men clearly. And then back to Ephesians. Well, let me read this last one here. Even with Jesus Christ, things sometimes take time. Even if healing or deliverance is not immediate, that does not mean that it is not of God. Even if you don't see the immediate results, that doesn't mean that God is not working within you to bring those to pass. And then back to the theme today, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, finally, having done all else, be strong in the Lord and the power of Gary's might. Was that yes? No? Come on, gang. The power of whose might? Because that's what's going to bring it to pass. And if you think your talent, your wonderful personality, you think whatever is going to bring it to pass, you're wrong. Hate to tell you that, but you're wrong. It's the power of God and His might that's going to bring deliverance in any fashion in our lives.